take the communion at this time. You can continue your fellowship later. We're going to study out the book of Psalms. I hope you're having a great time in the book of the Psalms. We're going to look at our famous Psalm 23. Psalm 23. And before we take the bread and the wine, I want to make a few points. And then Steve's going to come up and do the sharing along with Lauren and Melissa. All right? Okay. David, as I mentioned last couple of weeks, David's all about praising God when things go well. But when he's hurting, he's lamenting, he's praying, he is weary of his soul, he's down and out, he got anger issues, he got all stuff going on in his heart, and he just talks to God. And I hope that you're making a lot of connection. I'm learning a lot from David, and so he's so real. That's the biggest thing I'm learning. He's so real, and God accepts him the way he is. Amen to that. In Psalm 23, we have only time for three verses, so be patient. 1, 2, and 3. All right. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. David is saying, the Lord is my shepherd. In fact, he is the shepherd, but he's my real shepherd. If he's my real shepherd, I shall not be in want. That means all my needs are met. That means he's my provider. Great job. That was great. I love that whole poem. I'm going to use that again. But he's coming to God and saying, if I come to you, then I don't need anything else. The actual Greek translation is saying, I'm not missing out. You know, in life, sometimes we feel we're missing out. Well, I wish that, I wish this, I desire that, I want that. We become a little bit needy in this world. But David is saying, listen, I don't need so much. All I need is you. Everything what's lacking in this world, all I need is you. We sing it, now we got to mean it. Amen to that. And he's so passionate. I mean, he was singing it. I don't even know. I think there's a song behind it. We got to sing that. Just learn it. Because I think at the end of the day, God's the only one that's going to meet all your needs. He goes on to say, he leads me beside quiet waters. God is our rest. It's about talking about the rest with God. Resting your soul. And that leads to restoration. That leads to being restored, getting back, returning back to its original. Now, if our original was 50%, and you're at 30%, we got a lot of work to do, and not getting back to the mediocre 50%. We got to get 100%. Are you with me, church? But if you don't know today what the 100% looks like, then you got to study the Bible out. You got to ask somebody, teach me to be 100%. Because God's not just for David. It's for you. It's for me. Amen to that? Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, you're so touched by David and how so tuned he is with you. God, I pray that we will stop all the drama in our house, in our life, in our workplace, in our families, and we'll just come up to you. Just hands up and on our knees and calling on you. Because your all is enough. And God, we have put so many idols up in our life and it's been disappointed us. Certain relationships have disappointed us. And God, we are sad. The world has made us sad. And God, I know it's a hard place to live. But God, when the things are lacking, that we will call upon you, that will be open about our heart. Share about our hurts. And get our strength from you. Get our rest from you. God, truly you are our shepherd. Christ came to guide us, to lead us, to counsel us, to teach us with your Holy Spirit. Father, as we would take the bread and the wine, let us remember that you are our only hope, that with you, we will lack nothing. Thank you so much for this morning, and we love you. In his name we pray. Amen.
Such a great worship this morning. I really appreciate all the hard work that the singers put in to preparing. I was here earlier this morning, and honestly, it's a great pre-worship. Like, just getting your heart prepared. It's just great hearing the songs. It was over here flipping the slides for them. But what a great time. I didn't realize just how enjoyable that is. Thank you so much. And the teens have done phenomenal so far. So grateful for the family here in Grand Rapids. A couple weeks ago I talked specifically to the singles, shared about my life as a single, shared about the different stages of life that we go through. But when it comes down to it, we're a big family. And it takes all of us together to grow, to build each other up, to build God's church here in Grand Rapids. Amen? Well, go ahead and turn with me over to Luke 15. And before we get started, I just wanted to reiterate what we have going on after our worship service today. 11:45, just a reminder that we'll be having lunch for the teens. There'll be a Devo by our man Sal. So look forward to that. And then afterwards at 12:30, it'll be basketball here in the Cornerstone Gym. Yeah. So, my life as a teen, isn't any different than any other teens. And while I could look at my life as a teen and see all the horrible things that I had done, it really boiled down to me trying to figure myself out, figure out who I was, what was my identity, trying to make myself somebody. And I had choices that I made. And as teens, you'll make choices. As a matter of fact, you'll even try to assert those choices because you're trying to show that you can do it. You're trying to show that, I got this. Let me explore for a little bit now, Mom and Dad. Let me try some things out. Let me see what the world's about. And I know as a parent that can be very challenging. I know personally, I've had to really kind of see that in myself, that in one sense I think it's driven by fear, that I'm afraid to sort of let them go because I don't want them to get hurt. But I didn't learn, I didn't become a disciple, I didn't get brought down my journey by God by being protected by God. Oh, he let me explore. He let me figure things out. He let me fall. But he was there to pick me up. And I'll share more about that. We see that in this passage here in Luke. There's a lot in here. And I appreciate my wife. I tell you what, I love being married. I love being married because, I'm this, and she's this, and together we're something completely different. And, it totally makes sense as I look back and early on in our marriage, I'm doing a little sidetrack here. I didn't get it. I didn't see that God gave me a suitable helper because of my pride. But once I got it, it's the most beautiful thing. And you can apply it beyond marriage, right? We're all different. We all have different characteristics, different personality traits, different backgrounds, different cultures that maybe we were brought up in. But when we're different, we can be really powerful, right? That's what we are here as a church. That's what we are here as a family. It makes total sense why God would do that, why he wouldn't just give us all Lumens, or why he wouldn't just give us all Rachels, or all Sals, right? That would be very odd. But he gave us, all of us, to be one church with many talents, with something to give. Amen? Let's look here in verse 11. So the parable of the lost son. Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So this is what he's thinking. This is him coming to his senses. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Which son chose the right path? You know, teens, you're either the young son or the older son. You're one of those. But which one chose the right path? They both did. It wasn't about the path they choose. They both chose the right path. You know, me personally as a teen, I was the older son. I was the older son because I cared about what other people thought. I wasn't really my own person. I was more of a follower. I kind of did whatever I felt they would want me to do. I was also very performance-oriented. So by performance, I gained someone's respect. Or by performance, I gained my parents' approval. Or by performance, I felt God then loved me. And that's the oldest son. That's the oldest son. The younger son, he chose a path. It's just a path. But you notice, with the father, he wasn't for or against either one of the paths. Right? He was for the older son's path, and he was for the younger son's path. The point is that the father is God in this story. And God loves you no matter what path you choose. I took a lot of paths that were not good paths. It took me 26 years to come to my senses and take action. But what I appreciate was that God was with me along my path the whole time. And I can look back from just being a young child and seeing this big Bible that we had in this living room table, nobody touched it, but there was something about the Bible that was just like, it was holy. It's like when you turn the pages, you turn them really slowly. You don't want to You don't want to wrinkle them. You know, something very special. In high school, I met a guy that he was a minister and was sharing with him, had a conversation, and he's quoting scriptures. That was impressive to me. I was like, wow, that's really neat. Wow, what you're saying sounds really good. And just another point along the path. I went in the military, and again, got more involved in different churches, exploring, right? Teens, you're going to do that. You're going to explore. You're going to figure things out. Exploring, trying to figure things out. See what seems real, see what doesn't seem real. Unfortunately, while I felt like I had some moments with God, it wasn't really real. You know, they would talk about the scriptures. They would lift the scriptures up. They would preach it. They would sing it. But their lives weren't really in sync. And I could see that. And I thank God for letting me see it. I didn't have the strength to follow either. But at least I knew that I wasn't doing what the Bible was saying, for as much as I knew at the time. God will still work in your life no matter what path you choose. Eventually, at just the right time, at just the right moment, in the most awkward of situations, I'm delivering pizzas, and that's when God chooses to reach out. Wasn't anything I did, right? I'm just going about my paths trying to figure life out. But God was working all that time. He works through me delivering a pizza and been a disciple, well, pretty much since then. And it's been awesome. But I appreciate God not being controlling. You know, parents, that's a hard thing. You know, we can't control. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. Sal's awesome. Yeah, I love Sal. He brings life to the party. Now, that's what we're going to be doing when we're in heaven. This is going to be a big party, right? You know, let's start early. Let's start the party early. Celebrate today. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. Parents, we don't know what we're doing. We don't. Just when you think you know what you're doing, you've had one child, and you've gotten some input from people, so you've been resourceful, that's really good. And you're like, okay, I got this down, we're in a routine, we're figuring out what age-appropriate discipline looks like, and then we have a second child. And that child's not the same as the first one. And we're like, what is going on here? I got to start all over again. And that's just the way it is. And then, you know, depending on, you know, how that all goes, you may stop at two. Maybe you're crazy like Wendy and I, and we wait 10 years and decide, oh, let's have a third one. And he's quite different. So we need God, you know, trust with all your heart in the Lord, and in all your ways submit to Him, and He'll make your path straight. It's very challenging as a parent to not take control. A lot of times when we take control, it's because we're not in control. It's because we're trying to do it all ourselves. And but that's typical. I think that's our sinful nature. To want to be in charge of what we do. It's our sinful nature to not, you know, first think, I need to get some input. I need to read some books. I don't know what I'm doing. And if someone comes to us and points something out, especially if it's not in the tone that you like, then that's hard to swallow. And that's where we have to grow all the more humble, because God works and not the ways that you always expect. And most likely He's going to work in a way that you might not even like. But see God in everything. Filter through whatever filters you have on so you don't miss the gold nuggets, especially with your children. You know, it takes a village. You know, Illuminae shared about that. that's probably the biggest insight that I got when we were in Phoenix. Is I saw it takes a village. It takes all of us building and being in each other's lives. I'm glad that God, really screams to the top of his lungs in the New Testament about one another relationships, because we need them. We can't survive without them. We definitely cannot parent without them. Because then you're just going off your own understanding, and if you think that's all you need and you're that good, that's not a good place to be. We need God. We need each other. believe in your child. Teens, you guys are going through challenging time. I would fair to say probably the most challenging time of your life. You don't have a lot of responsibility, but your body's changing, your mind's changing, you're more emotional, right? And you're trying to figure things out. You're trying to assert yourself, and you're not really sure how to do it. So a lot of times it comes out, like harsh, or maybe you're putting your foot down kind of thing. But parents, we need to be graceful, right? If you think about when you were growing up as a teen, I know for me, I never felt like my parents trusted me. My guess, I can remember a little bit, is I was trying, just being a teen. I was just doing things that a teen would do. I was trying to grow up. I was trying to explore. I was trying to figure things out. And so the reason why I wouldn't feel like they trusted me is because whenever I explored, whenever I tried something out, I'm a red personality, so I'm a risk taker. So I like to take risks. I'm an adventurer. I like to see what happens. I don't care if it falls. At least I'll figure it out. I'll find out. It would always be, that's stupid, or yeah, that's going to fail. And I didn't care about it failing. I wanted to find out for myself. And that was very hard for them to do, and it's very hard for us to do as parents, to let go, to be patient, to bear with our teens and understand where they're coming from and let them figure it out. Let them fail. Teens, it's okay to fail. As a matter of fact, it's great if you fail. Anybody see Meet the Robinsons? Keep moving forward, right? Keep moving forward. He failed multiple times. He just kept moving forward. That's the mindset you need to have. Just keep moving forward. You're going to fail, but it's through those failures that you're going to learn. It's through the failures that you're going to figure it out. It's through the failures that you're going to mature and you're going to grow and you're going to become you, that special you that God loves in your uniqueness, in your special way, to be used to build up his family. It's okay to fail. Like I mentioned earlier, I was a kind of teen that wasn't myself. I wasn't like the younger. But if I were to give you advice today, I'd say be yourself. Because if you're not yourself, it'll take longer to figure it out. Because you're not spending the time to really understand who you are, and you're trying to be someone else, and it'll just take longer then to figure out who you are, because you're trying to figure out what someone else would be and how you should be that way. Yeah, it's just don't go there. You probably try things out like, hey, what's my music genre? What kind of music do I like? Maybe it's like, what kind of movies do I like? Caleb likes, I don't know if they're called slapstick comedies, probably called something more technical, and he would share that. But that's great. I think it's great that he loves. I don't like those, but he likes those. And I think it's good. He's kind of exploring his own music genre. He hears stuff that I listen to, whether it's Pink Floyd or Led Zeppelin. But, he really likes Rush. Now, I don't dislike Rush, but he really loves Rush. But the great thing is that he's taken on more of the music genre that I like instead of his mom, which is country. Yeah. No, she's got hers. Cooper loves country. He'd be singing in the back of the car. It's great. sports? You try out sports? Ah, let me try wrestling. Ah, oh, yeah, that didn't work out well. Oh, let's try out track. Oh, that's kind of neat. Or let's try out bowling. Let's try out basketball. You know, it's okay to just try stuff out, figure it out, have fun. You know, it's the only time in your life you're going to be able to do that. So why not do it now? You know, figure out hobbies. What kind of hobbies do I like? You know, I'm super grateful to have Melissa and Lauren share today. You know, amazing lives, amazing stories of how God worked in their lives while they're trying to figure things out. And so I want to have Melissa come up and share about what it was like at her life as a teen, growing up in the kingdom, different kind of dynamic, right? And how God worked in her life to be where she is today.
Hello. So my name's Melissa, for those of you who don't know me. And I'm going to share just a bit about my life and my journey. So I grew up as a missionary kid in India. Do you know what that means? I moved a lot. 7 times in India. I also lived in Chicago, where my parents were not in the ministry, so I had that kind of perspective as well. And then I moved to Grand Rapids, where I became a features kid again. So,
come on.
Okay, so growing up, I had a lot of knowledge about God, but didn't have a lot of understanding of who He was, partly because I wasn't searching for that. And I didn't think I needed to, because I already thought I knew God. I was wrong, but anyways. So let me tell you something. When I was a teen, I knew I was searching for something, but I just didn't know what I was searching for. So I wanted to share the scripture in Ecclesiastes 3:11. It says, God has set eternity in your heart. Okay, so what does that mean? Have you ever just set your mind on something until you got it, you weren't satisfied? My favorite restaurant is Little Bangkok, and a couple months ago, it got burned down. It was the saddest day of my life. So sad. It's up now. But every Thai restaurant I've been to in Grand Rapids just wasn't the same, and I just left away unsatisfied, full but unsatisfied. So in the same way, God has set eternity in our hearts. There's nothing that's going to make us satisfied other than that. So our hearts are longing for something, and until we get that, we'll never be satisfied. There is no substitute. I instead filled my life with earthly pleasures, especially in high school. I went after caring about my self-image. That meant being cool enough to even change who I am, just to blend in with people. All I really wanted was worthiness and a sense of belonging. Basically, unfailing love. And I was looking at all the wrong places, and satisfaction wasn't even close to my reach. So I wanted to share a scripture on how can we obtain unfailing love. In Hosea 10:12, it says, "Sow righteousness for yourself, reap the fruit of unfailing love, and break up your unplowed ground. For it is time to seek the Lord, until He comes and showers His righteousness on you." Growing up as a missionary kid, as a preacher's kid, I've always heard this term, seek God. But it never made sense to me until someone sat down and studied the Bible with me. When I started seeking God, my life changed. I felt fulfilled and worthy and satisfied because that's what my heart longed for. So you're never going to truly find satisfaction until you seek God. So I wanted to encourage the teens to step out of courage and ask somebody to teach you to seek God. And this is for everyone else. We all have unplowed ground that we need to break. So I wanted to leave you with this one question. What is your unplowed ground that you need to break to seek God?
Thank you very much, Melissa. That was great. So where do we go from here? You know, what's next, teens? What do you do with all this information? You know, it's a journey, but it's your journey. okay? Don't live someone else's journey. This is your journey. But the cool thing about it is God's going to be with you in that journey. You know, don't be afraid to explore. Don't be afraid to test the waters. Learn. Just do what you feel like you think you want to do, what you feel like is best, how you're going to explore. You're going to make mistakes. You're not going to make great decisions, but you'll also make good decisions. And you'll see what works and what doesn't work. Now, I'd also give you great advice in that. Gather around you wise people. You know, find people that you respect. Find people that you feel like, wow, if I ask them a question, I would really respect and listen to their answer. Because we got to admit, we don't know everything. And while we're exploring and while we're navigating these waters, why not do it with someone helping you along? Also in 1 Timothy 4, you know, Paul shares with Timothy, don't let people look down on you because you're young. There's a reason why he said that. Because people were looking down on him because he was young. Right? Teens, you ever feel that way? Yeah. You ever feel like you're looked down upon, like you don't know enough? You don't know what you're doing. You just don't have enough experience. Huh? Teens, you ever feel that way? Sort of? Okay. I know I did. But don't let them. Don't let them. Be you. Also, I'd advise, give yourself to serving those in need. If you guys think back to any events that you did, maybe serving Chili, like Lauren shared about, what an experience they had. I mean, you can just hear it as they shared. You just know that the people that were served the chili were fired up. They were like blown away. You know, like one mentioned, well, there's so many churches in this area, but you're the only ones that do this. I know Caleb and I went down to an orphanage in Mexico when we were in Arizona, Agua Prieta. There's just all these young kids. And, you know, I know very little Spanish. Caleb probably knows a little bit more because he's been taking Spanish. And you just try and figure out what they're saying, but they didn't care. They're just glad you're there. They're running up to you, jumping on you. I mean, it was just probably one of the best serving experiences that we did, and Caleb shared the same. You ever go to a soup kitchen? How do you feel after that? You ever, you know, be the one where the church kind of gathers all these gifts together, goes to maybe an orphanage or to some other place, and you're handing them out to the kids at Christmas? Remember how that feels. Those moments are experiences that will stick with you for life. They'll definitely change you. But the other part is, if you're anything like I was, and you're more performance-oriented, and you feel like you had to do all these things and these tasks and obey these commands in order to earn God's love, that's Satan. Yeah, it's totally not the God we serve. So I advise you understand God's grace. We see here in this story of the parable of the lost son, the father didn't care which path they took. Even though the one took more of a more risky path, he squandered his life or all his money in this wild living. And when he came back, did the father say, I told you so? I told you that, you know, I told you that wasn't a good idea. No. He didn't welcome him back. Oh, I'm so glad you figured it out. Great job. You did it. I don't think the father doubted that he wouldn't figure it out. But the oldest son, like I said, we can be either one of these. The oldest son, he was all critical, judgmental, because of his performance oriented. He felt like, well, I'm going to just stay home, I'll work hard, I'm going to obey everything you say. But why are not you giving me any gifts? He wasn't content. He wasn't content with his father's love, with the blessings he was already receiving. And it caused him to be bitter. Understand God's grace. You know, being a disciple, it's a choice. You know, it's a choice on the path you're going to choose. Are you going to be Lord of your life, or is God going to be Lord of your life? That's about as simple as it gets. You know, I got to say I'm super encouraged with the teens, because I see all the time where maybe there's something in your character you need to work on, and you work on it. You repent. You're already putting into practice what a disciple does. And you do it, why? Just so you can gain approval? No, I really think you know it's good. You know it's good for you. That's what the Bible is. It's a bunch of life tips. God's saying, this is good for you. This will protect you. You know, I'm your protector. I'm your deliverer. Right? Just trust me. Let me be Lord of your life. And that's hard to do when you're at your age and you're trying to figure things out. But believe it. You know, right now I want to have Lauren come up and share about what she did next. Come on.
Check, check. Hi, guys. So when I was asked to come up and speak, I was actually pretty nervous. So take it easy on me, okay? So I wanted to share a little bit about my life and kind of where becoming a disciple has taken me and where I am now. Growing up in the church, I went to church every Sunday and went to every midweek, went to all the events, but I wasn't there to praise God. You know, I was looking for the food. And, you know, I didn't pay any attention to what I was doing there or, like, why I was attending in the first place. You know, I was making my presence known, but I actually wasn't present with God. So in John 4:23 says, "Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in the truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and truth." So I was invited to study the Bible, but I wasn't very passionate about it, and my heart just wasn't there. I wasn't connecting, and God saw my heart. And I wasn't passionate until my last year of camp. Kids, go to camp. It's awesome. I was going into senior year, and the theme for that year was true identity. And so during that 1 week, that 7 days of camp, I was able to identify myself through Christ, and I had never felt so close to God and people around me and other disciples around me till that time. And so as soon as I got back, I immediately wanted to dive into the Bible. I started studying, and I was seeking mentors, and I was starting to pay more attention in church, and I started highlighting, you know, verses, and I started asking questions. I think that's one most important thing, is asking questions. If you have questions, ask those questions. It's super important, because there are a lot of people in this room that can help. So I started studying, and I discovered that I was actually chosen by God. I wasn't just created. I wasn't just something God, you know, wanted to put on the earth, but I was actually created for a purpose. And I think that's kind of what hit home for me, and my heart actually started changing. I saw that I was more enthusiastic, I was more open with people. I had a hard time sharing my emotions with people, but now it's a lot easier to do so when you are building relationships in the church with mentors and just women and men of the church and brothers and sisters. I had a better outlook on life, and I was able to see the bigger picture. It's easy to get caught up in that one assignment you're doing, and when you're struggling with it, you think it's the end of the world, or something happens, you spill something on your shirt, you're caught in the moment, and get caught in the moment, and sometimes you just forget that, you know, God does have a plan, and it's part of a big picture. And everything he does in your life is for something better later. So so now I am attending Cornerstone University. And I continue continuing to grow my faith daily. And God didn't, before he was once a week. It was a once-a-week chore that I could just check off my chore list, and now he's the center of my life, and everything I do is through him. So Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lauren. So we looked at the parable of the lost son, and we saw that one son took one path, the other son took another. Father loved them both. You're one of those sons, and God is the Father. The title of the message was, Who Am I? So Who Are You? You're asserting yourself to proclaim your identity. You're figuring it out. You're changing every day. You're testing the waters. Excuse me. You're learning what works and what doesn't. Who's the Father? God wants you to trust Him. He wants you to understand how much He cares about you. He wants you to understand that while you're figuring it out, you have moments where you fail, that He's there and understands and doesn't want you to take it too hard because He doesn't. He wants you to feel protected. He wants you to feel cared for and loved. That you can approach Him as a father, not the ruler over all the universe. He's not looking for you to perform. He just wants you to know that He loves you when you're soaring and when you're down. When you hear Him calling, walk towards Him, or He'll be there with open arms. Amen.